I want you to relax because we need to be ready as we come into 1 John, and I need to warn you that it starts very quick, so you need to be focused and ready to go. 1 John, come with me, have a look at the first couple of verses. The first six words, John starts off with God, and he makes a huge claim. You know those questions as a kid looks up at the sky and says, how do we know if God exists? It's not just kids who ask these questions. People across the ages have asked this. How do we know God exists? If God does exist, what is he like? What is God like? Come with me to 1 John. First six words. That which is from the beginning. We can skim over it, but it's a huge statement. That which was from the very beginning. What he's talking about, actually come with me to verse 2, you see it a little bit more clearly. That which was with the Father has appeared to us. God himself, who was before creation. It's a massive thing that he says. That which was from the beginning, God himself, has appeared to us. As we open up John's letter, it shouldn't surprise us as he starts his gospel the same way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and came amongst us. God came and tabernacled. He tented. He temporarily dwelled with people. It's a huge thing to say. He's here, he's talking about the incarnation. The eternal God actually came to earth as man. There was a song, an annoying song, in the 90s. Some claim Alanis Morissette sung this song. And she poses the question, what if God was one of us? Some of you, I won't sing it. I was tempted, I looked at no. What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Interesting question, but John makes the claim and says God did become one of us. God has appeared in flesh. How do we know? He says, we are eyewitnesses. Notice he doesn't say, I am the eyewitness. I am the only one who saw God became. No, he doesn't say that. He says, we are eyewitnesses. He's talking more broadly of a group which includes himself, but a whole lot more. The disciples, the apostolic band, those who are there, so much bigger. And he talks about being an eyewitness. He saw God in flesh. Have a look with me in verses 1, 2 and 3, because he labours this point. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched. Verse 2, he says, which we have seen and which we testify, we were there. Verse 3, he says again, which we have seen and heard. He is stressing that they are witnesses, they were eyewitnesses, they saw God himself in the person of Jesus. He says, we have heard with our own ears. What is he talking about here? What is he referring to? As we read John's letter in light of his Gospels, we see that they were there when Jesus spoke and said, I have come down from heaven. Not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. They actually heard what Jesus said as he claimed to be that one from heaven. We read that in John 6. But it wasn't just Jesus' own words that they heard. They heard God himself. We read this in John 12. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. They heard God's voice boom from heaven, speaking to Jesus. They heard it with their own ears. With their eyes, they saw it. As we read it in John 6, they were there when Jesus miraculously 5,000 in the wilderness, and yet Jesus fed them. Only God can do something like that. You know, in the Old Testament we see God miraculously feeding the people in the wilderness. And we think, wow, look what God can do. And then Jesus in flesh feeds 5,000 in the wilderness. And then Jesus walks on water. They saw it. Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, he stunk. They could smell it in their nostrils, and then they saw with their own eyes as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and he was breathing again. They saw it. They said, we've heard, we've seen. Also says, we have touched. I think what they're referring to here is when Thomas... Let me just remind you what happened in John's Gospel. He talks about Thomas. Chapter 20, verse 24, he says, now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not there when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I'll not believe. Then a week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the door was locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here, see my hands. Reach out and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. They were there. They touched and experienced. And what they have experienced, they have passed on. They have proclaimed. Have a look with me again in verses 1, 2 and 3. He repeats it. We proclaim, this we proclaim, that we have seen God in flesh. Have a look in verse 3. Pictures it there. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Now listen to this, verse 3, so that. Here we see the purpose of their proclamation. So that, verse 3, you may have fellowship with us. What he's talking here is Christian fellowship. Fellowship between believers. A deep fellowship between brothers and sisters in Christ. A deep unity is what he's describing. A fellowship that cuts across cultures, socio-economic categories, across backgrounds and ethnicity. A deep fellowship that is available because of this proclamation. They proclaim so that fellowship can happen. Sure, we've all got aunties and uncles, or fakey aunties and uncles that you've sort of grown up with and they've seen you over the years. got a number of aunties and uncles who've seen me grow up, and oh, I remember when you were a little kid, and you always hear the stories, and they know you. Yet, it was about 4 years ago, I had the privilege of going across to Uganda, the southeastern area, the North Kigezi Diocese, and it was unbelievable. So we travelled across, took us about 40 hours to get there. It's a nightmare trip, I won't go into it. We arrived, travelled 10 hours, way out in the outback in, I don't think it's called the outback over there, but way out in the sticks in Uganda. And we were with these people and we couldn't be more different. Different backgrounds, different family dynamics, different cultural. We were so different, but they were Christian. And the unity was unbelievable. I'd known them for an hour, and they knew me so much better than aunties and uncles know me, who aren't Christian. That knowledge, that unity that we had was because we are united in Christ. It was a deep unity. Why? Not just because we can, you know, members of the same sort of group. No, it was a unity because both of our thinking had been shaped by the gospel. Our passions, our interests had been shaped by the person of Jesus. Our likes and our dislikes. Even though our cultures were so different, what was important to us and what we're passionate about and what made us who we are was the same. A deep unity between brothers and sisters in Christ. The fellowship that we have as Christians, that's what it's talking about here. As we come along to church, it's strange. We're from all over the city. We're from different backgrounds and experiences and grew up in different parts of the world. You know, naturally, we wouldn't all be playing sport together or we wouldn't be doing this or that. We've got different interests, but what unites us is this fellowship that we have because of Christ. It's a deep fellowship that we have because of God became flesh. And we've heard that message. Come with me to verse 3. Because he talks about this fellowship, but then he goes on to talk about a different fellowship. A deeper fellowship, and that is fellowship with God himself. He talks about their fellowship. Our fellowship is one with the Father and with his Son, Christ Jesus. He's there talking about the deeper fellowship of relationship with God. Relationship with God the Father who is eternal because of the Son. We see that there, a couple of hints, it refers to his Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus, remember, was the name given, for he will save his people from their sins. Christ was his title because he was the promised King and Messiah. And because of him, we can have relationship with the living God. Because Jesus saves us on the cross. He gives us his Spirit and makes us his people. That we now have relationship with God. That Jesus is our King. That we can follow him. And as church, we enter into a wonderful fellowship because of having relationship with God. And friends, we can't have one without the other. We can't have fellowship with God and then be isolated and think as individuals. We can't just be part of the church and not have relationship with God. These two fellowships are interconnected. As you think of this fellowship, this unity that we have, you know, people can talk about Christian unity, and the image they portray is people claiming to be, oh, I'm a Christian, and all it's unity. We're united if we all sort of stand around and hold hands. Isn't that great Christian unity? No, the image that we have in the scriptures is more like spokes of the wheel, in which each is united to Christ at the centre. And because of that fellowship, therefore we are united together. And that fellowship that we have is in the local church. It's a real relationship and fellowship. But it's also in the worldwide church. As God is gathering together his church, his people from amongst the lands. And this fellowship that we've been talking about doesn't come about by attending a service in church. And if you sit in church long enough, you kind of be part of the fellowship. You know, as much as a sitting in a garage for a long time doesn't make you a car. It's the same thing. This fellowship comes through hearing and responding to the eyewitness accounts. John says in his gospel, as he wrote down what he saw and witnessed and experienced, he says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples which are not recorded in this book. So much more happened, we didn't write them down. But listen to this, verse 31. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. As we come to the first section in 1 John, he makes a ginormous claim. God has become man. And it's happened. And what it means is huge for every single one of us. How can we know there is a God? How can we know what God is like? Well, we can know with confidence because God has become man. How do we know what he's like? What did he reveal to us? How can we know it for sure? Well, we've got the eyewitness accounts. It wasn't just John, but we have the scriptures. The eyewitness accounts, which has been preserved through history, which history and archaeology back up. And we hear their testimony. Their proclamation, and because of such, we have the wonderful opportunity of having fellowship with the living God. That as we hear what Jesus has done, we can have fellowship and have life in his name. He's talking there about the privilege of having life eternal, of being forgiven by God for our sins and being able to live with Jesus forever. Being children of God, that's what he's talking about. But it's not just fellowship with God, but it's also fellowship with each other. And friends, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as I close, I want to sort of encourage and challenge you in how you actually see yourself in part of church here, local expression at St John's, but also part of the worldwide church. Do you understand the richness of the fellowship that we have with each other because of our unity in Christ? You know, as we read the news sheets, we get the news sheets each week. As we go through it, how do you think? What is happening in your mind as you read and you see someone in our church has been unwell? What do you think? Oh, there's a bit of news. I didn't know that. Or do you read it and think, oh, I don't know that person. Skim to the next. Or do you actually see them as this is my brother and sister in Christ, and there may be a way in which I can serve and help out at this time, or how can I be praying for them this week? Not just, oh, I need to pray out of duty, I'll do that today, it's done. But what does it mean to have this fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ? The local expression. But also, as we're part of God's people globally, what does it mean? As we read each week about our mission partners, how do you think when you read them? Do you think, oh, I haven't met these guys, I'll just wait for next week and I remember them, they came and visited church. Oh yeah, I wonder what they're up to. Or do you actually see them as your brothers and sisters in Christ who are in a different situation, who actually need our prayers and support and partnership? And what does it look like for me and my encouragement and service of them? Friends, through hearing the gospel, the eyewitness accounts, hearing the proclamation, we can have relationship with God, but we also have relationship with each other, which is a wonderful privilege and opportunity and responsibility, a deep fellowship in Christ. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for preserving for us through history the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. Thank you that we can listen to your word, to read your word, and thank you that through this we can have relationship with you. Father, we do pray for us this morning as we've learnt, been reminded about the deep fellowship that we have with you through Jesus, and we thank you for that. Thank you for his death on the cross on our behalf, that we can be right with you. And Father, thank you that you have made us your people, that we have a deep fellowship with each other. Thank you for the way that you are moulding us to be your people, that you are transforming our hearts and minds, that as we grow in maturity, we grow in unity with each other. Father, we pray as individuals at church that you'll help us to live as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to think of our local church and how we can be supporting and encouraging each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the wonderful unity that we have. Father, as many of us, our home situation can be uncomfortable or awkward. Thank you for the peace and freedom that we have at church to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters and have support and encouragement from each other. Father, we also pray as we think of our brothers and sisters overseas in different and often trying circumstances. Father, we pray that we'll be able to think through how best to use the gifts and resources and opportunities to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the partnership that we have in the gospel. And Father, we pray that we'll be looking for opportunities. Help us to be prayerful. Thank you for the opportunities to pray and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.